Well, there's so much to talk about when you talk about the fact that we're 2 days away from tax day and all the implications. And we certainly have talked a lot about that, and we'll talk some more about it. But there's something going on out there as well that has caused a great deal of upset in the markets, especially in the stock market so far this year. And that has to do with all of the talk that we've heard about tariffs and the risk of trade war, and especially the back and forth between the United States and China. And so it's interesting to really take a close look at an examination of this issue of really how much firepower, if you will, does China have in terms of waging a potential trade war with the United States. And it certainly starts with the numbers in terms of export-import. Right now, based on the latest data, China exports over a period of 12 months, $445 billion in products, in goods, if you will, into the United States. What that means is consumers in the United States are buying $445 million of Chinese goods imported into the United States roughly over the past year. We'll call that an annualized rate. But the interesting thing is that U.S. exports to China are much smaller than China exports to the U.S. For example, in 2017, the U.S. exports to China came to about $154 billion. So you take that $445 billion number of Chinese products coming into the U.S., you take that $154 billion number of U.S. products, and a lot of that is agricultural products going into China from the United States, our exports, and you can see from those numbers that it's close to 3-to-1. It's fairly close to 3-to-1, the number of Chinese goods bought in the United States versus the number of U.S. products exported to China. And the reason that's significant is because based on the announcements that have already been made, China really is would be running out of room very quickly if they matched the threats that have been made by the United States so far against China. Now, we already know that the initial round of tariffs that was created in U.S. policy had to do with steel and aluminum. A lot of countries were granted exemptions, but China was not granted an exemption. So China took a look at the 25% tariff on steel and the 10% tariff on aluminum, which basically is a border tax. And they took a look at that and they said, okay, we're going to retaliate in kind by putting, as they estimated the value of that to their export account at about $3 billion. They're not a big exporter of either of those products to the United States, very, very tiny. So they do, of course, export a lot to other countries, but not here. So they took a look at that steel and aluminum tariff impact, and they decided that that was worth about $3 billion to them in their export account. And so what they did is they put tariffs on specific products that amounted to about $3 billion in products. And that's what happened there. So that was their answer, and the first round was over at that point. Well, then we went to the second round. The second round came when the U.S. announced that about $50 billion worth of tax would be applied in the form of tariffs on about 1,300 imported products. Those tariffs have not yet taken effect. They have been announced. So the next thing that happened was China retaliated almost immediately. And so, okay, well, if you're going to put tariffs on $50 billion worth of our products coming into the United States, these 1,300 yet-to-be-named products, then we're going to respond in kind with $50 billion worth of tariffs on U.S. imports into China. And once again, these would be targeted tariffs to particular geographical areas for maximum political impact, of course. So remember now, we don't yet have these this second round of tariffs. But then when China retaliated with the announcement that they are going to put $50 billion worth of additional tariffs on U.S. imports into China, the U.S. then made another announcement saying that they would add another $100 billion in tariffs on Chinese products. Well, here's where it gets interesting. Remember earlier I mentioned that the total number of products, $154 billion worth of products, came into the United States from China in 2017. That was the total import account from China last year. Now, this account grows, but it doesn't grow by leaps and bounds, especially coming this way from the United States going to China, especially going that way. So what happened was, if you add these three numbers up, China's already out of products to assign tariffs to, because they already did the $3 billion to retaliate against the steel and aluminum tariffs, because that's what they assessed the value to their export account, $3 billion. So they put the tariffs there, and we've seen those tariffs. A lot of those tariffs in the U.S. are on agricultural products, soybeans, corn, grains, things like that. So then we had the $50 billion, and China's already promised to retaliate on that if that happens. And now we have the $100 billion, and we're waiting for China's answer to that. So that would be the total export account of China to the U.S. They wouldn't have any more. Meanwhile, the U.S. has this $445 billion going the other way. So this has the potential to get extremely ugly, but it hasn't happened yet. And we had some remarks in a speech, an economic speech from the Chinese leader earlier in the week, which indicated that, well, they might, you know, might make some sort of concession. We shall see. We'll see about that concession. We don't know yet. What we know so far is that the tariffs that China has put on and has promised to retaliate with in the United States are concentrated in specific areas, especially agricultural products, soybeans, corn, cotton, products like barley, all of these types of oats, all of these types of grain products, because they know that these are important exports in the United States. For example, if you take a look at barley and oat and a couple of other items, they rely on China for about 75% of their demand. And soybean farmers depend on China for over 50% of their overseas demand. So this could be very significant if it comes to pass. Again, we're early in this stage, but if it comes to pass. There are other areas that China can strike back within that $150 billion range. For example, automobiles could be one of them. Tobacco could be another one. And notice all these are a lot of these are geographically targeted to do the most damage to those levying the tariffs. So we'll have to see where this heads out. But the fact that you saw cranberries on the list of China's tariffs, the fact that you saw whiskey on the list of China's tariffs, well, when you see cranberries and whiskey, think Wisconsin and Kentucky, because a lot of those products come from there and are exported to China. Think Mitch McConnell and soon-to-be former House Speaker Paul Ryan, because these are the products that come from their domiciles, if you will. State of Kentucky and the particular district of the soon-to-be former House Speaker. So all of these products are strategic. Think about orange juice and the swing voting state of Florida. That made the tariff list also. Remember, China is a single-party rule country. So there's a whole different set of rules when you're in a single-party rule country, and China certainly qualifies as that way. And also remember, when you look at tariffs, that tariffs can have downstream effects. that are items in the supply chain. That's another item to consider. Did you know that 10% of semiconductors in the United States and civilian aircraft go to China? Civilian aircraft parts, that is, go to China. So there are many different ways for China to retaliate. And what we don't know yet is what will the nationalist element be in China. Remember when Korea suffered a slump in exports to China after they had a kerfuffle with China a few years ago. Japan had a similar experience a few years ago. So all of these factors are factors to be watched. People have talked about the Chinese government dumping U.S. treasuries. Yeah, they could do that. They're the largest foreign owner of U.S. treasuries. They own $1.2 trillion in U.S. treasury securities. And on the one hand, you could say, well, if they dump them, the value of what they have left goes down. Well, that's true, but it also is true that the value of what they have left would be worth 100 cents on the dollar at maturity because the U.S. does not default on its debts, and they know that. So although the market value would be affected if they dumped, the fact is two facts there. Number one, their remaining securities would be still dollar good on maturity, and that's a big deal. And number two, there probably would be some snapback in the bond market after news got out that they had sold their treasuries. So I think it's unlikely. Look, the Chinese are liable to do anything. But I think it's unlikely that they would dump their treasuries. But it certainly is something that they have in their weapon bag. They can use it as a weapon if they get really upset about what's going on. That's not such a great thing for the U.S. to have them dump treasuries because we also have this quantitative tightening going on. And we're getting closer and closer to the point in October when quantitative tightening will be $600 billion annual rate. That's money that goes into the open market on top of the money that we have to raise for our runaway deficit spending in Washington. You know, it used to be we didn't have to worry about that. We had the Freedom Caucus. They were fiscal conservatives. They fought the good fight. Well, they caved. They caved. They agreed to go along in sufficient numbers with this budget-busting spending bill. And as a result, we're now looking at a trillion-dollar deficit not too far down the road. Remember, it has to be financed in the Treasury market. And remember, the quantitative tightening money must also be raised in the Treasury and agency market because the Fed is dumping that stuff by letting it redeem. That means when it rolls over, it has to roll over into the public marketplace. That's additional supply of Treasury and agencies in those amounts, $600 billion annual rate starting in October. This is on top of the deficit, and this is assuming no dumping by the Chinese of their $1.2 trillion in Treasury holdings. This is what happens when you go deep into debt. This is what happens when you run the deficit to the moon in good times. These are good times. The economy's growing. Jobs have been good. The economy's been good. These are good times. Why are we running a trillion-dollar deficit in good times? That's above my pay grade. I have no idea. Should we be? Of course not. Of course not. So that's where we are.